Good morning, church family. I will be reading the scripture today, which is John 15, 9 through 17. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you so that you may go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. May God add a blessing to the reading of the word.
Amen. Amen. So we're talking today about love, and I think we know that mothers love, and I'm going to be talking about the love of mothers. But, you know, we have to start at first place, the first things first. First things first is to acknowledge that nobody loves except they get it from God. Amen. Amen? So I think it's important that we talk about the indestructible love of God. And what do I mean? It cannot be destroyed. You cannot destroy God's love. Nothing can destroy God's love. You know, we see children and we hear the term, we have the term acting out. And sometimes people act out, don't they? They show out. They act in ways that you don't approve of, you don't like. And we do that with God. We can talk about it when it's our kids or our nephews or nieces acting out. And we're clear on that, right? Somebody down the street, they can act out and we don't like it. We say, oh, they acted out. They really showed their whatever. But oftentimes we don't stop to think about how God is a father, and sometimes we act out. We don't do as we should. But here's the thing about God and about us acting out. No matter how we may act out, God's love never disappears. It cannot be destroyed. Nothing can destroy it. And so I think it's important that we talk about the love of God today as we talk about mothers. John talks about the love of God a lot. In John, the 15th chapter, and I think, I think Mr. Hill for the reading of the scripture. He was mature, wasn't he? Yeah. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you, Jesus said. Now remain in my love. We've been talking about remaining in God's love a couple of Sundays. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Now, you know, a mother may be and father may be more pleased with you if you do what they taught you than if you don't do what they taught you, right? So remaining in God's love, Jesus makes it plain that he expects us, if we expect to have a relationship with him, a close relationship with him, that he wants us to do what he's taught us. Now, how is that any different than what our parents said? It's very similar, isn't it? So I think you're going to be seeing the similarities between the love of God and the love of parents, which was brought up very nicely in many of the testimonies as we go through. It's about relationship. We have a relationship. God puts us in families, and he puts us inside of families with relationships, his fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters and etc. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. And again, the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. What did your mother and father teach you? To love your brothers and sisters. To love them and to love your brothers and sisters. And to love your friends down the street, and to love your aunties and uncles, and to love your grandmas and grandpas. So this thing of love within the context of family is big, and it comes from God, because God loves. God is love. And the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are in complete love with one another. You are my friends, he says. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And that's what Jesus did for us. May I submit to you that it's not, that again, it's what we see in the God family is mirrored in the human family. Your mothers and your fathers, and we're talking about mothers today, have laid down their life for you. I tell my boys all the time, because we got two boys when they were three, one 3 and one 8, and we had no children of our own. Although we had hundreds of children because we always worked with teenagers and young people. So we had all these kids, and we started in youth ministry. Then at ages these boys were 3 and 8, we got two kids that we took care of like our own, best we could. And I tell them now, because, you know, you have to tell people things as they grow, my wife gave up her life for you. My wife's life was quite different before we got those two boys than it was after she got those two boys. And as I survey the situation and I've lived in the household and I've watched it develop, my wife laid down her life for those kids. And I like to remind them of that because sometimes people forget all the things that have been done for them. We're talking about mothers today. They literally sometimes lay down their lives. You hear women who are killed because they were defending their children. You hear people that are abusing children and families, and mothers are beaten, thrown out of the house, called all kinds of names. And we're talking about the ugly side of family here, because they're laying down their lives for their children. Sometimes women stay in relationships that are not good relationships for the sake of their children, and a little bit of them dies every day. So, you know, we're grown folks here, and we're young people, and we should understand the dynamics of life. That's why you want to try to get the right one when you marry. That's why you want to not be in relationships that don't, you know, that aren't going to feed you and nourish you. And that's why when you get in those relationships, before you get into them, you need some kind of instruction, some kind of education, some kind of mentoring, so that you know how you're supposed to respond and act within those relationships. Amen? So then you carry on good things, because what you live is what your kids are going to be subjected to. And the people around you are subjected to the same things. So because God made us imitators, so we imitate what we see. And so, you know, each of us receive blessings and cursings depending on what happened within those households that we were in. And a lot of times those mothers were trying with all that they could bear to make it right. Working long hours, working 2-3 jobs. Come home, then take care of the family on top of it. Sometimes, unfortunately, left by themselves to fend for themselves and by themselves. Sometimes the husband may leave the household. Sometimes he's still in the household, and they're still taking care of everything. And they do it because they love. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. That's what Jesus said. So we're talking about the indestructible love of God, a love that never fails is the love of God. And it is akin to mother's love. Since we're talking about mothers, fathers, we'll have our day. But today we're talking about mothers. And it is a love for most mothers. And I know that there are aberrations. There are times when, you know, we may have had mothers that weren't what they were supposed to be. I don't think my mother would mind me saying that for the first 6 years of my life, my mother was a pretty good mother, but not really a great mother. She was pretty much not there for the first 6 years of my life. And somewhere along, and I could tell you the story of how God, one of the ways in which God convinced her that she needed to change her ways. Because my mother used to say, my mother used to sing a little song to me. Okay, here we go. I'm not going to sing the song, but my mother was one of those people. My mother would sing a little song. I can still hear that song to this day. And I won't sing it because some of you will hold it against me. but that's the kind of mother that my mother was. She would sing these little songs to me about what my life was like, what her life was like. And basically in this little song, she would sing about the fact that she was running up and down the roads, seeking whatever she was seeking, looking for what was missing in her life, and left me alone. That was basically what she sang. And then she'd sing about how she came back. And my mother was not a great mother during those first 6 years. But from the time I was 6 years old to the time I was 13 when my mother died, my mother was the best mother in the world, in the world. And one of the reasons why was God convinced her that she needed to come back and do the right thing, which she already knew, but she wasn't, you know, inclined to do. And in one of those situations, she and the man who was become my stepfather drove around a telephone pole on a trussle. You know what a trussle is? It's where a train goes over a track and it's elevated. And the phone poles are there along the route. There's no earth there, though. In one of those situations where God was convincing her of what she needed to do, they drove around the telephone pole. We later lived right there in plain sight of where this happened. But there was no earth underneath the car when they drove around the telephone pole. And by that and a certain other series of miracles and incidents, God convinced my mother of the mother that she could be and that she should be. And my mother came and settled down and became the mother that, to me, is like the ideal mother. Just a great mother, wonderful mother. And so a little word to those of you who maybe have struggled with the mothering thing, and maybe things haven't gone as well as they should have, there's always time, while you have time, to go back and correct that. We praise you for all the good things you have done, but, you know, we're not perfect. So if there are things that are not right, and you still have time to fix those things as long as you're alive. And, you know, children, no matter what their age, will appreciate it in most cases if we will come back and be the people that we should be, that God has made us to be. The book of Romans talks about the love of God as well. It says, what then shall we say in response to these things? And it's talking about all the things that Jesus has done for us, how God has selected us and chosen us to be his children. If God is for us, who can be against us? This is the indestructible God of love of God that we've been talking about. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? And that's what I've been talking about, how God has given us inheritance in the kingdom of God along with Jesus. How will he not, along with him, give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. You know, he's the one that chose us. He's the one that decides whether or not we are good, whether or not we are pleasing. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Jesus Christ, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God. It is also interceding for us. So we got Jesus on our side, and we got the Father on our side. Can't go wrong, right? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger or sword, can they separate us from God? No, because the point is that if we leave this life, God has promised us another life. He has promised us eternal life in a new body. And that's what those who believe inherit, those who have faith. So nothing can separate us from God. As is written, for your sake we face death all day long. That was the Christians of that era, and Christians today are going through the same thing. We are considered sheep for the slaughter. In spite of it, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. That shows love. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, or demons, neither the present, nor the future, or any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So God's love is high above any love that we can hope to offer as human beings, as high as the heavens above the earth. But a true mother's love imitates the love of God. Amen. Imitates the love of God. We've heard testimony of it this morning, which cannot be destroyed. A mother is the last person to give up on her child. They believe in us when nobody else believes in us. And as was mentioned, fathers, I'll talk about this as we go on, but we each receive from God gifts. And mothers have a certain gift from God. So happy Mother's Day. To all you mothers and aspiring mothers, to all you aunts who act as mothers, to all of you women who haven't born children, but you act as mothers to them and you counsel them and you encourage them. This is not just your day. I hope that every day is your day. But certainly on this day, we want to thank you. We want to hold you up. We want to pray for you. We want to give you praise as God has instructed us. You know, Mother's Day is an interesting institution. In 1905, an American by the name of Ann Jarvis began to celebrate her mother. She loved her mother and thought her mother was really fantastic because her mother served in the Civil War nursing soldiers on both the Confederate side and the Union side. She didn't make any difference. And then afterwards, she established a Mother's Day of her own where she would get all the women together and they would serve people that were underprivileged and were sick. She had nursing skills. And so then in 1908, she set up a memorial for her mother. And then she began to campaign among those that were political officials for a Mother's Day, which would be an official day. In 1911, all the states in the Union celebrated Mother's Day on some level, but they didn't have an official day yet. But in 1914, President Woodrow Wilson signed the proclamation establishing the second Sunday of May as Mother's Day. And that's why we have Mother's Day today. It is a day when God, you know, God said we should honor our fathers and our mothers. So really many of the days that we celebrate in our nation are commands of God that people who had some faith in God began to establish so that the whole nation would recognize this and stop and actually recognize mothers and fathers and grandparents and etc. Now, see, God has made us male and female, right? So in the Bible, in Genesis 1:27, the scripture says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." So then if God made us in our image, in his image, and then he created both male and female, it makes sense that he put his characteristics in both men and women. And since we come together in God's eyes and we become one when we marry, scripture says God looks and he sees one, then those gifts that he put in these two people come together and make one complete, more complete person. So it makes sense then to me that there are certain characteristics of God that are more heightened in the male and more heightened in the female. And among those gifts that are more heightened in the mothers, because we're talking about mothers today, is this love. Somebody mentioned in the testimonies that mothers are creators. God is a creator. And mothers must be very close to God's heart because mothers are creators. They take seed in their body. And with an egg and a seed, their bodies create a person. And that person dwells in them usually for close to 9 months. During that 9 months, that mother is bonding to that child. The child is listening to her heartbeat. The child is responding to everything she eats and drinks. The child is, in fact, we find, responding to everything she even thinks. So if a mother is thinking positive thoughts while she's carrying the baby tends to come out with a more naturally a positive person. But if there are negative, the child would tend to come out more negative. If a mother listens to music while she's carrying a child, the child will come out with a love and appreciation for music that people just can't even fathom. They can't even understand why this child loves music so much, but they've been listening to music in the womb for 9 months. If a mother goes through math problems, if a mother goes through reading, they're now finding, and there's a program that we want to establish here in Harvey in this community, they're finding that families that are more in a better situation, who have a better life situation, use more words around their kids. And they're finding that those families that use this certain threshold of words naturally give a gift of language and understanding of language and of mind to their children. And so in Harvey, we'd like to set up a program, if it works out and there's an interest, and we can get the funding and all those things, where we actually institute a system that has been designed that informs the mothers about this and the families about this and increases the volume and the number of words that are actually used with the children to increase learning in their kids, to boost their intelligence, actually boost their intelligence. I know my wife and I, even when we got these kids, they were 3 and 8, and we would be in the churches and different or plannings and places, and we'd be using words, the same kind of words that we use all the time. And they say, using all these big words, you got these kids at 3 and 8. And we said, they'll understand it because I would use a big word and I would break it down and into smaller words and explain what the big word meant. And then pretty soon the kids are using the word. Now, both of our boys grew up and they're very, very verbal. Now, they may not do well with math, but they're extremely verbal, both of them. Extremely, off the chart verbal. So, my brothers and sisters, it's what we're exposed to in life. And mothers have a special love. Mother's love and God's love. God has selfless love. God's love is what we call sacrificial in nature. God is willing to sacrifice for us. It's shown in the fact that Jesus came to earth. He left the gated community and came down to the hood and died for us. Because he loved us. He's not thinking about himself. Even the scriptures say he didn't consider himself because he could have stayed there in comfort. Nothing could touch him. He came down here and died for you and me. And our mothers are that way. Our mothers are that way. A good mother is that way because the love that God has imparted to her is just in her that way. Years ago, a young mother was making her way across the hills of South Wales, carrying her tiny baby in her arms. And she was overtaken by a blinding snowstorm, blizzard. She never even reached her destination. When the blizzard went away and people were able to travel out, they found her body. She had a small baby. They found that she had taken off all of her outer clothing, wrapped it around the baby, and then curled around the baby like an igloo, like the Eskimos might make a snow house. And then the snow had covered her, and as you know, snow works kind of like an insulation too if you got that kind of warmth around you. When they uncovered her, she was dead, but the baby was alive. She had given her life for her child. Years later, that child, David Lloyd George, grown to manhood, became the Prime Minister of Great Britain. And without doubt, one of Britain's greatest statesmen had become that because his mother loved him with sacrificial love. And our mothers are that way. Most of our mothers have loved us that same way. As I've mentioned, they have given up their lives for us. Mothers love, God's love. God wants us to be responsible, good people. He wants us. Obedience to God is not for his sake, but for our sake. You know, God is not telling us what we should do in terms of laws and requirements because he needs it, but because we need it to know how to live. So we can have happiness and increase joy. So God's love is not self-seeking. God is not self-seeking. He's not out for himself. And mothers are the same way. The Proverbs say this, my son, Proverbs 6, verse 20, my son, keep your father's command and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them always on your heart. Fasten them around your neck so that they're with you wherever you go. Always accessible. You always know what mother said. And when you walk, they will guide you. And when you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will speak to you. And that's the thing. My mother's been dead since I was 13. I can still hear my mother talking. I can hear my mother saying, "That's the way we do it." "That's not the way we do it. Don't you do that. That's not right. That's good." I can hear my mother. They call them tapes. Maybe they ought to change the language now and say it's an MP3 playing. It's an MP3 playing in the back of my mind. And it's always with me. Your mother is always with you. So, you know, we heard people give a testimony today, and many of them, including me. Our mothers are dead. They're long dead. I have trouble remembering what my mother looked like unless I look at a photo of my mother. That's how long my mother's been dead. But the tapes, the PMP3s, the digital recordings are still running in my mind. That's the influence that your mothers have. You maybe don't realize what power you have. That's the power that you have. That you can make a child that you raised want to do what's right even when you're not around anymore. They may veer off, but it's the tape is still playing. And with God's help, they'll come back to the right ways. But you got to teach them that now. That's what mothers are for. You carry this child. This child is there, you know, a part of you. You're connected in ways that fathers will never be connected. The importance of a mother cannot be underestimated. Cannot be underestimated. So you really need to realize that. And even after your children are grown, you don't boss them around anymore. You can't tell them what to do, but you can still have input. You can still influence the way they do, by the way you act, by the way that you live, by the way that even you, the things that you suggest. Now, I got a 31-year-old son that lives with his wife in Southern California. I don't interfere in his life and his decisions, but there are times when I say what I think about things, and he picks up on them. And it's up to him whether or not he wants to do it, because he's grown now. But you see what I mean? These relationships that we have, they're indestructible. They don't just pass away. Mother's love and God's love. God wants us to abide in him. He wants us to obey his commands. His commandments are not a burden, but are meant to lift us up and to give us life. And it's the same thing with the commands and the directions that our mothers give us. They teach us important and good things so that we may live a better life. The book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." So, in other words, the parents are meant to teach us right things in the Lord, good things that God may have, you know, God has taught them. And then we pass what God has taught us, we pass down to our children in principles, in direct quotes of scripture, in the way we live, in the way we act, in the way we talk. And they pick up on it. A kid will pick up more on what you do than what you say. Make sure what you say is in line with what you do. Amen. Honor your father and mother, which is the first command with promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth, was the promise from Exodus 20, verse 12. So, you know, if you follow the things that mother teaches you, provided that mother is doing what she should do, it will preserve your life. It will improve the quality of your life, because mother says what? Don't hang with that crowd. I don't like that boy. Something about him. Is she really a nice girl? I can remember I had an Uncle James. He was a character. Most of my relatives are characters, especially the men, but the women too. And Uncle James was the one that spoke his mind no matter what. First time he met my wife, I introduced him. I took her to North Carolina, and we're there, and the whole family basically comes over to see this woman that he didn't call me Willard. Willard wants to marry. And my Uncle James said, "Can she cook, boy?" I had already warned her. I said, "That's my Uncle James, honey." I said, "Yeah, Uncle, she can cook." I said, "And what she can't cook, her mother's a great cook, and what she can't cook, she can read." and she can follow instructions so she can cook it. I'm Uncle James. We're Andersons. That's our family name. We're Andersons. So he understood where I was coming from, and there was no more discussion on the subject. God, what God wants from us, brothers and sisters, is not that different than what our mothers want and wanted for us. Amen. They're interested in our welfare. They want us to do what's right. They want us to prosper. So remember, mothers, remember this. Then you have to express that. You have to implant that so they can carry that with them. Amen. Proverbs 10, verse 1 says, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son brings grief to his mother. That is true. More so than anyone else, mothers feel grief when their children don't do what they're supposed to do. That's because they're so connected to you. Let me say this then. What if your mother is now dead, no longer with us in the flesh? How you live your life is a testimony to your mothers. How do you honor a mother that's not here in the flesh? Obey her commands, just as Jesus said, obey my commands. And when you obey what your mother taught you, you are honoring your mother, who may not even be here, but you're honoring your mother. How can you, if you don't do it and you do those things that she taught you shouldn't do, then you're dishonoring your mother. That's the real practicalities of honoring mother and father. Mother's love and God's love. God wants us to obey his commands. Mothers want the same thing. They're good examples, will make us better people. In so doing, we also abide in our parents' teachings and honor them. And remember, imitation is the purest and the best form of flattery. A teacher in class asked a boy a question one day. She said, suppose your mother baked a pie and there were seven of you in the house, so five kids and two parents. What part of the pie would you get? This is a math class. And the boy said, a sixth. And she knew he was a smart little boy. She's just wondering, why can't he figure this out? You got two parents, you got five kids, you're going to get a seventh. Why is he, what does he mean, a sixth? And she says, I'm afraid you don't know your facts. And he said, I'm afraid you don't know my mother. You don't know my mother. Because she also said, what if the pie was kind of small? And the little boy said, my mother will not eat pie. That night, my mother will not eat pie. And I can't tell you how many times I've seen mothers not eat. So their kids could have food enough. Not buy new clothes. Make clothes out of sacks. So their kids could wear clothes at school so they wouldn't be picked up. It's an amazing thing what God has made in a mother. The love of God never fails, and the love of a mother, a good mother, never fails either. Proverbs 31, this is who she is. She's clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come because she's not afraid. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She's a smart woman. And even if she didn't, as was mentioned, she might not have education. My mother had an eighth grade education. My mother mentored me all the way up to the point where she could no longer mentor me. But she put in me a love of learning. And she was the reason why I have a love of learning to this day. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She's not wasting time. She's got kids to take care of. Her children rise and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praises her. If she has a husband, sometimes she doesn't have a husband. She's still a good mother. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful. Oh, yeah, we can laugh, you know, ever so beautifully and tippy-toe around, and that's okay. But getting down to the business of really being real people and real mothers is what mothers do. Charm is deceitful and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised, and we are to praise her. We are to praise her. That's what Mother's Day is about. Amen? Living or dead, we're to praise him. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise in the city gates. Because mother's love, like the love of God, is indestructible. Amen. Join me in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for this day. You have led people in our nation to establish a holiday that keeps your commandment, that we should honor our fathers and our mothers, and this day we honor our mothers. Some of us have the blessing of having mothers that are still alive and with us, and that is a true blessing. I pray that you'll impress upon every person that has their mother here who can go and speak to her or call her up on the phone, that you'll impress upon them the blessing that they have. And many of us no longer have our mothers, but because you have given us good mothers and good memories, we still have tapes that play in our heads and pictures that run through our minds and pictures in books and film to rehearse, to remind us of what a great gift you gave us when you gave us our mothers. And so, Lord, help us to keep your command to honor them. And as I mentioned, Lord God, honoring them is not just about once a year buying a card or going to visit the grave. It's about how we live our lives, because our mothers vested their whole lives into us, and so they have wanted us to live a good life and a decent life and a godly life. So help us to do that, that we may give them the ultimate compliment. And this we pray. We thank you for all that you give us, because you are both a mother and a father to us. It is through you that our fathers and mothers learn how they should treat and act towards their children, how they should live in this world. So help us always to praise you first and foremost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.